Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, your host. There are two things I want to talk about today. First, why missions? Why pastors talk about missions so often? Why do we have to bother ourselves talking about Jesus to our neighbors and people from other culture? Second, why we don't want to be on missions? We'll go through Book of Romans 10, verses 11 through 15 today. Let me start with why missions. Number one, why missions? Now, it is simply because of Jesus being the good news. Let's read Romans 10, 11 through 12. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. Now it says, if you believe in Jesus, you will never be put to shame. Many of us are Asians and we're from shame and honor culture. Death is better than shame. Family shame is not acceptable. National shame is not thinkable. Shame breaks family relationship, friendship, and everything. Even if you are not from shame and honor culture, you know shame is a big stuff. It's a big problem everywhere. Now think about how many people in the world live their lives with every day caught in shame for what has happened to them. Victims of terrible crimes, sex trafficking, rape, violence, injustice. Think about how many people in the world live their lives every day caught in shame for what they have done to others. They have cheated, lied, hurt, and destroyed others by their anger, greed, and lust. We're living in the world full of shame. However, here is the good news. In Jesus, you don't have to live in shame. You become a forgiven son or daughter of the King and gain great pride in who you are in Christ. Because it says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. But why believing in Jesus will not put you in shame? Because Jesus is your Savior and He saves you from all shame. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus saves you from shame. The greed, anger, lust, rebellion, envy, and discord that characterize the life of every person in this globe will not only put you to shame, but also make you face the judgment of God. God is a just God who will punish sin, and that punishment is death in a forever place the Bible calls hell. But when you call on the name of Jesus to be the King of your life, you are saved from that by His blood. Jesus lived the life that you couldn't live and died the death that you deserved so that you could be forgiven and saved from the punishment of God. We should never forget this reality of what we are saved from in Jesus. But we must also remember what we are saved to. We are pulled out of our sin and brought into the family of God to live forever with our Heavenly Father, forever in perfect place, in a place we call heaven. My friends, Jesus is good news. Jesus is the best news. This news about Jesus is the very reason our church exists and the very reason I'm sharing with you this morning. And this is for everyone, not only for North Americans, but also for South Americans, not only for Westerners, but also for Africans and Asians. Christ is for all people. Christ Jesus is the Savior to save people from sin and shame. If Jesus is not good news to you, you will never be truly motivated to share it with your neighbor, much less someone you don't know on the other side of the world. However, there is another important truth that we must realize when it comes to global missions. While the good news is for everyone, that does not mean everyone receives the benefits of the good news. Paul said it only applies to all who call on him. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here's one thing you need to do. Call on the name of the Lord. Calling the name of the Lord? That's easy. Piece of cake. Jesus. I'm done already, right? No. In the context of Roman world, Caesar, the emperor, was the only one to be called the Lord. If you call others Lord, you'll be dead. That means if you call Jesus as the Lord, you would be dead. Calling Jesus as Lord was life and death commitment to follow Jesus as the only Lord. Now, it applies to us the same. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. Whatever lords we have served in the past, whether it's money, health, relationship, or other gods, we have to renounce them and call Jesus as the only Lord in our life. That's what it means to call on the name of the Lord. Have you called Jesus as your Lord in this sense? If not, do it so now. If you call on him as Lord, you are saved. Now, it doesn't end here. Not only you, but people of the nations need to call on the name of Jesus to be saved. This leads Paul to ask us some critical questions. Look at verse 14. How then can they call on the one who have not believed it? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Someone must share this good news of Jesus. If it's offered to everyone and they must call on the name of Jesus to be saved, then someone must share Christ. How else will everyone hear? How will 7 billion people hear that whoever believes in Jesus will not be put to shame? According to the missions organization called the Joshua Project, 41% of people groups in the world are unreached with the gospel, meaning they don't have churches in their people group who are capable of sharing the good news with them. That is a total of over 3 billion people. For them to hear, someone must share. But who? Who should do it? Look at verse 15. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Those who are sent by God must share Christ. I grew up in a Christian family. My father is a pastor. My grandfather was a pastor. I grew up in pastor's family. But I did not truly meet Jesus until I was 23 years old. In September 2000, Jesus met me and saved me as I was reading through Hebrews 10:10 saying Jesus died once for all. His blood became true reality, washing my sins. I became a new person. I was born again, but that was not the end. 3 months later, God called me for missions. That was 15 days before I came to the United States, and I realized that God called me and sent me as a missionary to the United States to reach the nations for Christ. In 2004, he gave me a clear vision. It is to raise up 21st century Moses. As God met Moses in the wilderness and sent him back to Egypt to bring people to the promised land, God will meet immigrants like you and me here as 21st century Moses and send them back to their countries and to their people to bring their people to Jesus. Since then, I have devoted my life to reach, raise up, and send 21st century Moses among international students, second and third generation immigrants, and refugees for Christ. But this sending is not only for me. It is for you as well. If God truly saved you, he also sent you to go and make disciples of all nations. This is the great commission Jesus said in Matthew 28:18 through 20. He is sending us to go and make disciples of all nations. And verse 15 describes how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. 2,000 years ago, feet was the dirtiest part of the body. Now he is saying, how beautiful are the feet. Last September, I came back from a short-term mission trip from Southeast Asia. All 2 weeks, I was wearing sandals. I walked around villages filled with dirt. Let me tell you, my feet were dirty. Black sandal became white because of all the dirt. However, I never felt so proud of my feet I wouldn't touch them nor smell them, but it was beautiful because my feet were used for the kingdom. Now he is sending you, and you will see how beautiful your feet are as you go. But let's be honest. We don't want to go. Why? Why we don't want to do missions? There are two big reasons. First, we are busy and we're scared. Let's go with the first one. We're busy. We all know this. We are living in a super busy world. It's good to be busy for good reasons, but we also know that we're busy for watching TV, YouTube, or playing video games. Even during this house lockdown time, we found ourselves pretty busy doing something at home, right? No matter how busy you are for works, we normally wouldn't make time for watching TV or playing video games. But when it comes to missions, we normally make a classic excuse saying, I'm busy now, I don't have time for that. Or now we would say, I'm stuck at home most of the time, how can I go and share the gospel? Well, we need to think, what is the most important thing in our life? Watching TV, playing video game, or winning souls for Christ? You know the answer. But more importantly, we need to know who the Lord of our life is. Jesus is your Lord. He is not only your Savior, but He is your Lord. That means Jesus has authority over your life. Jesus is the Lord of the communion table on Sunday, but also He is the Lord in your dinner table, meeting table, Zoom meeting table, and even timetable. He has authority over who you are and what you do. So you need to submit your time schedule to Him. You need to focus and maximize your time to do what God wants you to do. My teammate used his vacation time for the missions trip for 2 weeks. And that's a quite sacrifice, isn't it? I mean, he could have used it 2 weeks vacation to have some fun for himself. He could have used that time to read books he wanted to read or to watch 16 episodes of K-drama he wanted to watch, right? I mean, none of them are wrong. They're good, and we need time to relax. But if they are the only things in your timetable, then there is a problem. When are you going to use your time for God's kingdom? When are you going to experience supernatural love and power of God to reach the lost people? Let me give you a suggestion. Use your time for God's kingdom. Maximize your time to share the gospel. Whether you are at home for house lockdown or whether you are walking on the neighborhood for fresh air, make the most out of your time for His glory. During my missions trip in September, I don't know how many times I said, this is better than vacation. I met two families. Both of them became Christians a few months back. One family was from mixed religion, but they were crying as they shared their testimony. But 2 weeks ago, just 2 weeks ago, the Holy Spirit convicted them to get rid of all idols from their house. You may think that's not a big deal, but to them, it is like getting rid of our cars and driving license. It was a life and death situation to them. It was a life and death commitment to follow Jesus. They were denying their old identity they lived for the last 40 through 50 years. I went to another family. The father of a house was a very rigid Buddhist. But as he was sharing his testimony how he came to Jesus, he knelt down, held his hands together, and shared. But he couldn't continue because of his tears. When he was reciting John 3:16, he could not keep up because he was crying. He was speechless. It was a powerful moment to see the power of God, all of this man who was saved by His grace. Just watching the work of God was so refreshing. I mean, I was in the poorest country in the area, in the Southeast Asia. Average income was about $120 per month only. There was not paved road, people live in a hut, dirt was everywhere. It was a spiritually dark place. Only 3.2% is known as Christian in the whole country, but less than 1% is true born-again Christians. But God was at work. He was saving people in a powerful way. I witnessed that, and it was a tremendous vacation to me. I could breathe. I thanked the Lord to bring me there to witness God's work. What could be better than that? In a mission field, you would encounter this type of fresh work of God and it will refresh you from your head to toe. Well, you may ask me a question. Sammy, Brother Sammy, everything has changed since March 2020 because of this pandemic. Church building has been closed for 2 months. We cannot run the church program as we used to. We cannot do the leadership training, retreat, or conferences as we did last year. We can't do the short-term mission trip even. How can we do the missions? We have so many limitations and restrictions these days. That's a good question. Yes, everything has changed. We have so many limitations. But Philippians 1:12 says the gospel was advanced while Paul was in chain in the jail. Acts 28:30-31 says, "So Paul maximized his 2 full years in house lockdown to share the gospel with everyone who came to see him." It is not about situation. It is about motivation in our hearts. Yes, we're not meeting in the building, but it doesn't hinder the gospel. Why? Because elders, deacons, and leaders do not have to worry about maintaining the building, so they have more time to pray and to minister for the congregation. Yes, we don't have the large group Sunday worship service every week, but it doesn't hinder the gospel. In fact, people do not have to go to a building to entertain themselves with wonderful worship music band or a great preacher on the stage. Instead, we can participate and engage in worship at home. Yes, pastor cannot do his normal business such as preaching, teaching, leading the Bible study every day, but it doesn't hinder the gospel. Instead, every Christian steps up and takes part in ministry as co-workers for Christ. Pastor is just a part of a screen, as you see me now. And you all are participating in the worship and working together. Yes, we don't have lots of church programs and events every week, but it doesn't hinder the gospel. Instead, everyone has more opportunity to go and walk around their neighborhood and share the gospel with people next door. Yes, we cannot do the short-term mission trip now, but we can share the gospel through Facebook, YouTube, and more social networks. Just a few days ago, I filmed a brother I'm discipling. I asked him to share the gospel in his language, Telugu, and I posted it on YouTube. Discipleship did not happen only between two of us, but it also happened on the internet for others from all around the world to see the video. Yes, it is not convenient and uncomfortable doing all this stuff online. I have a Zoom fatigue, right? However, God opened up the huge door for much more for us to grow as His followers. And this is a golden opportunity for you to go as His disciples. So go and make disciples of all nations. Be the beautiful feet of Jesus to bring the gospel to the nations, whether you are at home or somewhere. Now, let me give you some practical guidelines how you can proclaim the gospel in this season. It's called the bless. Bless your one. B is to begin with prayer. We are to pray for the lost people to be saved and for His kingdom and to be established. L is a listen. Reach out to those who are far from God and ask them how they are doing. Ask them how you can pray for them and listen. Some people just need someone to talk to. Eat. Take someone a meal. If you are friends, set up a time to share a coffee over a video call. Serve. Get to know how you can help them, serve them, and help. Lastly, share. We pray and listen and serve so we can earn the opportunity to tell our one about the love of Jesus. We want to share our story of how Jesus has changed our lives and how we want to share God's story about how Jesus came to die for our sin and forgive us completely and restore our broken relationship with God. So why missions? Because everyone needs to hear the gospel. And we should go and tell them. No matter how busy or limited we are to prioritize to share the gospel with the power of God beyond the limitations. So let's be the beautiful feet of Jesus Christ. Let's become 21st century Moses to bring people to Christ Jesus. Because we have only one life to live, and we don't know what the future holds for us. But we have a powerful God who is the God of the universe, God of gods and Lord of lords and King of kings, and He governs all things. He is an infinite God. He knows the future. He governs the past. He is with us in this present time, and we have no limitations in God. What we need to do is to surrender to God and let our motivations to be changed and reshaped by Him so that our hearts would be filled with His heart, His passion for the nations, so we can go and make disciples of all nations as He called us to do and be. So let's glorify the Lord by going and making disciples of all nations. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, we praise You for who You are. We thank You that You are not limited by COVID-19, but You are in perfect control of all these things so that we can trust You and worship You. Even in this time of difficulties and uncertainties, Father, we pray, earnestly pray, that we would break the shell in our hearts and we would step up with in Your presence with confidence, full confidence in You, that we would maximize our time to go and make disciples of all nations, Lord. Father, we know that the world needs to hear You, especially this time of difficulties. There are so many people who have lots of questions of life. They're in the life and death situation. So, Father, please help us to reach out to them and share this wonderful news. And also I pray for those who are going through a difficult time even now in this group. I pray that You would comfort them and bring peace on their hearts so that even if they are going through a very tough time, I pray that You would bless them so that there will be a blessing to others by going and making disciples of all nations, Lord. Father, we do thank You so much for Your gospel. And we do thank You that You are calling us as Your servants, as Your ambassadors, to bring this gospel to the nations. Help us and guide us and send us and use us for Your kingdom. In Jesus' holy name, I prayed. Amen.